Welcome to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive Church, a place of spiritual cultivating, loving care, and creating great commissioning experiences. And now, an anointed word from Pastor Norman E. Curley.
This particular year, 2022, is a year of recalibration for heavenly promotions. And the scripture we have, and it says, they feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights. The word that I shared the other night, and I'm going to go ahead and read it here again. It goes like this. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Our times are in the hand of the Lord. Therefore, we must confidently trust in his good counsel in which he designs and directs in the midst of human affairs. Focus your faith and faithfulness directly on and unto the Lord of heaven and earth. Do not wander in your minds after the confusion of this world. My covenant of peace is with you and shall remain in you. This is the hour my church, the called out ones, to make the pursuit of my presence and the fellowship of prayer of greater priority. It is from the glory of my presence and the hearts of trusting prayers that I will comfort and lead my sheep into fertile and fruitful pastures. They will not wander as lost sheep, but sheep that are well nourished and lacking nothing. Because of their willingness to follow the chief shepherd, Christ the Lord. What has been has taught my people what waiting up on me and seeking me looks like in turbulent times. The continual looking unto me day by day is the witness of what children in my kingdom are called and created to do while living out their earthly tenure. My spirit is moving in such a way in the present season of human existence to bring a recalibrating effect upon the church. The things that was and even the things to come will not set the standard or determine the limitations of my covenant people. In this period of recalibration, there will be a spiritual summation of all that has been and a resetting for all that is to be. The good that I have revealed in my word will be the predetermined outcome for my covenant people, the church of the Redeemer, Christ the Lord. This recalibration is for heavenly promotions. I will prove faithful to my people as in time past. The world will not be their source or their strength of supply. I will be their heavenly Father that causes them to abound in spiritual and natural rewards. These rewards will be done openly in a witness to the world of my glory and grace upon those who submit their lives and livelihood unto my care. My goodness and grace toward my covenant children will draw people out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of my Son, Jesus Christ, and they will serve and eat from the bread of life, says the Spirit of the living God. When God speaks a word to a local fellowship, it is first of all, those of that fellowship and those who connect in their faith, in their love, in their prayers, and their giving to hear that word and receive that word. And to know that that word aligns with Scripture. That word magnifies the nature of God. And once we hear that word and we receive that word, we now have expectant faith to know that it is going to be fulfilled not by the strength of man, not by the might of man or flesh, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Well, in diving deeper into this 2022 theme, recalibration for heavenly promotions, I would like to call to the stand a biblical witness in which we primarily associate with great suffering, and rightfully so. However, in the summation of his experience, that is, all things coming together, both good and bad experiences, we witness a recalibrating effect occurring after he had patiently waited upon the Lord and gained wisdom through his life experiences. It is at this junction of his journey, he feasts on the abundance of God's house and he drinks from the river of his delight. Through his experience, he has earned the rewards of heaven, and they become a witness to the world of God's goodness and grace in the life of those who are in covenant with him. Our witness today is none other than Brother Job. Let's learn lessons on life in waiting and expecting promotions from heaven's authority. This is not the authority that's in the earth. This is supernatural authority. This is authority that comes out of the throne room of God. And when God speak and decree and declare a thing concerning your life, the first thing that happens, the angels of the Lord, they hearken at the word of God. And you're in a position of faith that you're at the right place at the right time on your spiritual journey, that you are sensing in your spirit what God is doing or what God is about to do, and you aligning your faith with an expectancy from the Spirit of God. Well, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Job, and we're going to go to the last chapter in chapter 42. And we're going to look at Job, and Job is going to become a witness because this recalibrating, this summation of things, this bringing stuff together, this, hallelujah, making sense of all the stuff that's happening in the spirit realm. See, when we understand the things of God, we understand the things of God by the Spirit of God, by his word. We don't look through the lens of the world. We don't look through the lens of our political frame. We don't look through the lens of the world frames and the world kingdoms to try to understand how God is working. We look through the word of God. We listen and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit because God is doing a work. He's doing a work in your life. He's doing a work through your life. He's doing a work for your life so that his name could be glorified in earth. I'm excited about this word. Job 42. The first thing I think we can gain from the witness of this brother is this, is that he readjusts his attitude from a complaint to humble repentance. We see that in chapter 42 in verse 1 through 6. Job does this, first of all, by agreeing with God in rehearsing what God had initially said. So in verse 1 through 4, the Bible says, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You ask, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you and you shall answer me." Job, in agreeing with God, he acknowledges that God's power and justice in executing his plans in the earth is based on God's sovereignness. In other words, even though Job did not fully understand all of what was happening in his life, he understood that his responsibility was to trust God, not put his confidence in his own ability, but put his confidence in the word of God and in the wisdom of God. He then admitted that his words had been wrong because his words lacked the full understanding of the situation in which God only had perfect insight of. He said that in verse 3. "Therefore, I uttered what I did not understand." This is a true sign of humility and repentance that Job is bringing to the forefront of his heart and is causing that door of complaining to be closed in his life. Saints, when we murmur and complain, it is a sure witness that thanksgiving is not flowing through our spiritual veins. It is a sure witness that pride is usurping authority in our heart. And God honors humility. God honors those who are willing to submit themselves under His power and His grace, knowing that if God is for me, what can be against me? And then now we see He withdraws His complaint, hallelujah, and humbles Himself under the mighty hand of God in true repentance. And by this way, He encounters the Spirit of the Lord. Listen to verse 5. The Bible says, I have heard you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and in ashes. Look what the presence of God, look what Job, when he ends up getting close and intimate with God, when he began to tap into that place of revelation and understanding, it breeds humility and repentance on the inside of his heart. You see, true repentance attests to a heart of genuine faith. This is the heart that is willing to be searched out by God. This is not the heart that's trying to hide and conceal their own pride. This is not the heart that is trying to think that they can deceive God, for God cannot be mocked. Whatsoever man or woman soweth, that is what they shall reap, according to Galatians 6 and 7. And the Bible says, the eyes of the Lord are over the whole earth, beholding the good and evil. Saints, saints, if you're going to be transparent with anybody, be transparent with God, because He already knows. Matter of fact, He understands things on a much deeper level than you and I could ever understand with our natural minds. David did this in Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Listen to that kind of humility and repentance. He's not trying to justify his behavior. He's not trying to judge somebody else, but he's standing in the mirror of truth, and he's asking the Lord to search him out, to reveal to him things that he could be thinking or doing or operating in, any type of attitude he could have that could be offensive to God, to the Spirit of God. He want that clean heart. That's what he want God to create, a clean heart, and renew a right spirit in it. It is often the flesh that deceives our faith, because the flesh allows us to be comfortable in not dealing with the internal small foxes that's just running rampant in our hearts. And therefore, we have a tendency to think, because I'm not doing certain things that are obviously known and revealed as sinful, that I'm okay and I'm justified. But when we get close to God, as Job is, when he began to give us revelation, when we begin to see as God sees, and we begin to humble ourselves and ask him to search our hearts, God's going to show us attitudes. God's going to show us things in our heart that perhaps we never thought about. Unforgiveness, impatience, anger, grudges, things that he's told us to just release to him. Things he told us not to be anxious about. Things he told us not to fear. God's going to get what? He's going to get all those little foxes out of our way so that our faith and our fellowship can flourish in him. You see, the Bible reveals great heroes of faith who lived close to God, but they also lived a life of repentance. Remember Daniel in Daniel chapter 9? When he goes to God, he acknowledged, God, we have sinned. We have turned away from your word. He's praying, and he's not saying, God, the people of Israel have sinned. He's saying, we have sinned. So Daniel had what? He was close to God, and he had a heart of repentance. Not only that, Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 6, he was close to God. He's experiencing the presence of God. He's saying, the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and seated up in his train filled the temple in the midst of the presence of God. What does this prophet do? He says, oh Lord, I am a man of unclean lips. In other words, I'm sinful. I need your help. And David, we know David's journey. And in Psalms 51, in Psalms 32, we see what? We see that humble repentance. Why? Because they had a revelation of Psalms 130, verse 3 and 4. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you, there is forgiveness so that we can, with reverence, serve you. They understood that God is a God who forgives sin. They understood that no man qualifies in and of himself or woman to stand before God. But thank God that because of his mercy, because of his grace, because of his love, there is forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, since we know that God, in God there is forgiveness, then we come clean and we acknowledge, Lord, search my heart. And if there's anything that's offensive to you, Lord, reveal it unto me and deliver me, take it away from me. In a season of experiencing a recalibrating effect of heaven, attitude readjustments must be the key that unlocks the door of complaining and open the door to heartfelt repentance. And that's what Job is doing here. The other thing I notice about Job is that he has heaven's witness before others that he is a servant of the Most High God. Look at verse 7 of Job 42. It said, and so it was, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Now therefore, take for yourself 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer up for yourself burnt offerings, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For I will accept him, lest I will deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job. And so Eliphaz the Temanite and Benadad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamite went and did as the Lord had commanded them, for the Lord had accepted Job. Notice, 4 times in these verses, God himself speak to those who were not given a true witness of God concerning Job, that Job is my servant. For God himself to declare that this man, despite his experiences, despite his suffering, despite the challenges that he's been going through in his life, and even now going through, he is my servant. One would perhaps wonder, in what ways did Job perhaps serve God in his situation? I believe that Job served God by trusting God in some of the most difficult and complex circumstances of his life. Situations where he didn't fully understand what and why and how, but yet he trusted God. And a lot of times we don't see serving God as a mean of trusting God. But when we trust God, we are serving God. Even in Job 1:8, the Bible says, the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. In Job chapter 2, verse 3, listen what the Lord said about Job. The Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. And he still holds fast his integrity, although you incited me against him to ruin him without cause. In other words, God said, he is my servant who, despite all the suffering and all the access you've had to his life to torment him, he maintained his integrity. He maintained his words. He maintained his heart of faith, and he trusted me. In these verses, he now serves God. In verse 7b, for you have not spoken to me what is right. And my servant Job has. He served God because he was speaking what he says God was saying to his heart. In these verses, he served God by his speech, by his words. God, hear our words. And he hear the words of faith, or he hear the words of fear, or he hear the words of complaining, or he hear the words of rejoicing, or he hear the words of being able to give his name the glory in the midst of whatever we're going through. And then we see also in verse 8c, he served God through his prayers. See, sometimes we think we're only serving God when we're like in Martha mode and we're doing something physically. Boy, we serve God in how we use our words. We serve God in how we communicate with God in prayer. In a season of experience of recalibrating effect of heaven, having God's witness before the world as being a servant of the Most High, will cause God's grace, a promotion of his house of abundance and river of delight to be his rewards in our lives before the world. And this is what God is doing. He's causing Job to be a witness before his friends. The ones who thought Job was out of the will of God, the ones who thought Job was being judged by God, now God is judging them for lying, for condemning Job, for saying that God said and God did not say. Now God is what? God is sending them to Job. And now Job will have to be your intercessor. And now Job's response of prayer is going to determine your future. God know how to turn the tides. God know how to promote one and put down another. Psalm 75, 6 and 7, promotion doesn't come from the east or the west or the north or the south. The Lord puts down one and put up what? Promotion comes from the Lord. The Bible tells us in James that we need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt us, what? In due season, at the proper time. It is heaven's authority that determines the promotion in your life. It's heaven's authority that determines the blessings and the favor of God that comes into your life. And this is going to be the year that we're going to see the authority of heaven declaring promotion over the redeemed ones, over the ones who continue to trust God despite their experiences. But God is going to bring things together. There is a recalibrating effect. There's the reset button of heaven of what God is doing in the lives of those who trust him. The last thing I see here is that Job, he moved into his season of heaven's recalibrating favor with open rewards. I'm going to read verse 10 from the Amplified Bible. It reads like this. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job and restored his fortunes when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. If Job had given up in the process during the moments of great pain and perplexities of his life, he would not have been in position for God's recalibrating grace and turning sorrows into rejoicing. The Apostle James uses Job's life testimony as an example of rewards that come with Christian suffering due to their commitment to remain in faith and faithful to God in a fallen world. So in James chapter 5, verse 11, the scripture says, as you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Listen, we have persevered. We've been what? We've been going through all of these changes in our world. We've been going through all of these turbulent times in our world, and man doesn't have the answer. The government doesn't have the answer. The military doesn't have the answer. The political world doesn't have the answer. The entertainment world doesn't have the answer. The musical world does not have the answer. Where is the answer? The answer is in heaven. Hallelujah. And God is the one. Your glory to God. God is the one that touches the reset button in the throne room of heaven and causes the summation of Romans 8:28 impact. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. You know what we've been doing over the last couple of years? We've been being conformed unto the image of Christ, the church, the redeemed ones. We are being shaped to look more like Christ. Our faith is being shaped. That spirit of fear, we've been casting it down. That spirit of fear, we won't let it drive our decisions. We won't let it drive our heart. We won't let it determine where we will go. We will be led by the Spirit of God. And then Psalms 30, I want you to listen to this. Verse 11 and 12, I'm telling you what, when God turns things around, when there is a recalibration from heaven's throne room for promotion, you just have to be in position. Job was in position. He had persevered. He had went through the pain. He went through the perplexities of wondering what's going on, but yet he trusts God. And now what? God is bringing a recalibrating effect on this man's life. Psalms 30 and 11 says this, you changed my mourning into dancing. That's what it looks like. You took off my funeral clothes and dressed me up in joy, so that my whole being might sing praises to you and never stop Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you. All glory to God. I'm telling you, in this year, we're going to see more thanksgiving coming out of the church. We're going to see more situations that the world is going to say, well, they should be in mourning, but they're dancing. They should be discouraged, but they're encouraged. They should be going through the valley of the shadow of doubt, but they're acting like they're on the mountaintop, because we are. Why? Because we live under the rule of the authority of heaven. And then Isaiah the prophet said in Isaiah 61, 2 and 3, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That's what Jesus came and did in Luke chapter 4. In the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified, that they might be called trees of righteousness. Hallelujah. Oh, we're going to be trees standing like by the river of water, well nourished. The world going to look at us. And so those are the righteous people. Those are those people who follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Their lives are much different than ours. Their lives are not filled with fear and bondage and lack and all kinds of things. But their life is filled with the goodness of their God, with the faithfulness of their God, with the joy of their God. And get this, and they bring glory to their God. You see, Job ended with twice as much as he had before. In other words, he had 20 children, 10 at home with the Lord and 10 back at Job's house. He had his wife who is restored or reunited with him. Friends and relatives brought him money for a restoration fund. Hallelujah, glory to God. Oh, they wanted to tap into that anointing. They wanted to tap into that power. See, at first, oh, they probably didn't want to be around Job. They was afraid, man, you get around Job, bad things may happen. Look what he, but they didn't know that God had a recalibrating anointing on Job's life. God had a set time where he would hit the reset button, where he would turn things around, and what he had went through, those bad experiences, God's going to bring such blessings. God's going to bring such promotion. God's going to bring such favor. Oh, glory to God. Oh, you're going to get double for your trouble in the kingdom of God. And not only that, he had twice as much livestock as before. I believe that livestock came from that abundance of restoration fund, that seed that his family and friends came and sold into that anointing on Job's life. See, when you get blessed like that, some people just want you to give it, give it, give it, but they don't know, oh, you got to give into that anointing. You're not giving to get, you're giving because you see the grace of God. You see the favor of God. You've been led by the Spirit of God. You obey God. That's the kind of giving you want to give. The kind of giving where God turns something on your heart. Not where somebody else get up and try to motivate you to give, but you're motivated by the Holy Ghost. You're motivated by the Spirit of God, the wisdom of God, the Word of God. Hallelujah. That's where your faith is. And when you operate with the Word of God and you're doing what the Word say, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me therewith, said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing whereby you will not have room to obtain it, and I will rebuke the devourer for, oh glory to God, when you got the Word of God and you are doing what the Word say, you're going to have the witness that comes out of the throne room of heaven. The authority of heaven is going to speak concerning your life, and the authority of heaven says, let the anointing of promotion be upon them, the anointing of favor and blessing that comes from the throne room of God. So he was once again a wealthy man of God. And God allowed Job to live twice as many years. And the Bible declares in verse 17, so Job died old and full of days. That's how we want to leave the earth. He died blessed. He died full of the grace of God.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive Church. Located at 3100 Trotter Road in Southeast Columbia, where Norman E. Curley is the pastor. Come worship with us each Sunday at 10 a.m. worship and 7 p.m. Wednesdays for an engaging, insightful, and anointed Bible teaching. For more information about the ministry or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call 803-695-1277 or visit us on the web at wordalivesc.com. Tune in next time for Word Alive Broadcast Ministries. Thank you.